A service for the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, April the 21st, 2024. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have awakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. And now today's epistle from 1 John chapter 3. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now for our sermon entitled, The Shepherd's Love in Us. It is based upon the epistle from 1 John chapter 3. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is upon this fourth Sunday of Easter that we remember how we are the recipients of Jesus' great compassion. Recall the incident recorded in Matthew 9 when Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion for them. Why? It is because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was both willing and able to be that shepherd for the harassed and helpless sheep. Friends, this includes you and me. Jesus, the Lord, is our shepherd. It is in him alone that we truly do not want for anything that matters. He became our shepherd by doing something no shepherd would do. He spoke of it prior to doing so in today's gospel, saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What is of note is that our shepherd did not give up his life because of his own carelessness. Instead, he did so because he cares for us. Isaiah 53 speaks of how all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This makes it clear that we are the ones at fault. Yet, in spite of that, the verse continues teaching how the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took that entire terrible load of humanity's sins, and he paid for them. The sinless Lamb of God died for us wandering sheep. His shed blood atones for our sins. Romans 3 speaks of how we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Baptism initiated most of us into this faith. If not, it was the Word of God which sustains us all in the faith. There is also Holy Communion, wherein we receive Jesus' cleansing blood. 1 John 1 tells us that the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We know this to be true by Jesus' resurrection. Back when Jesus spoke of his life as the Good Shepherd, he said, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this is precisely what Jesus did on Easter, rising again in victory from sin, death, and the grave. Since Jesus did all that in order to be our Good Shepherd, what is it that we can do for him? Of course, we can never repay him. However, surely there is something that you and I, his sheep, can do in appreciation for all that we have received from him. To answer this, you and I can look to today's epistle lesson from 1 John 3. In speaking about what Jesus has done, John teaches, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And he then continues, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Therefore, what is expected of us who have been saved by Jesus, who laid down his life for us, is that we at least be willing to lay down our own lives for the good of others. Maybe you can think of specific examples where this might happen. One might be when someone else is in danger and you risk your life to save him. Perhaps we've heard stories of someone who was in over their heads, literally, and a bystander jumped in to save the other with success. However, in the process, the rescuer was drowned. He would rightly be awarded posthumously some honor as hero, for he laid down his life for another. A Christian who saw one in need and didn't at least try to help wouldn't feel right about that. As one for whom Christ laid down his life, we are to be willing to lay down our lives for others. Thank God for the heroes that do this. However, not every situation is immediate life or death. Some situations find people suffering from poverty. There are different ways to be poor. There's no need to die for them. However, you could lay down your life by merely helping them out. Our text asks, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Being willing to share the excess of what you have to help someone out who is in dire straits makes one wonder if that person knows anything about God's love. Now this verse from our text can be quite convicting for us. Most of us have more than we need. We can speak a lot about helping the poor. We might say more should be done to help them. We may be very sorry for those having to do without and feel badly for their situations. However, talk is cheap. In our text, John instructs, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's not enough merely to say the right things. What counts is doing what is right and giving to the Lord by giving of our abundance for the benefit of those who are both spiritually and physically poor. It is at this point that you and I are in trouble. As the sinners that you and I remain, we find ourselves holding on a bit too tightly to the world's goods. We see a brother or sister in need and easily manage to close our hearts towards them. Because we often are like this, we may rightly question if indeed is the love of God alive in us. Now certainly there are examples of when it is. At times you have been caring, kind, and generous, especially to those in need. It may have been a family member, it may have been a friend, It could have been a neighbor or sometimes a complete stranger. You gave of your time, talents, or treasures in order to help them out. God bless your heart for doing so. But there are others whom you could have helped, but didn't. Maybe you were overly suspicious of their intentions. Maybe you didn't care about their troubles. More than likely, you simply wanted to keep what was yours for yourself. After all, who knows, you may yet need all that you have for yourself. This is our situation. We do some things right, but honestly, not enough. It is as Jesus himself once said after costly perfume was spent on him and Judas thought it should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Jesus responded, "For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." There's no end to those in need of help, and there's no way you and I can help them all. I don't know about you, but when I think of helping out all the poor, I feel overwhelmed. But this doesn't mean I can't improve from how I presently am. I really should be doing something more. We all should. This begins to weigh heavy on my heart, as I believe it does your own. I can relate to what Paul said in Romans 7, that I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. This makes me want to say along with him, "Wretched man that I am," and then ask the question, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" My sin of not laying down my life for my brothers and sisters as I should condemns me. Like Peter, I may as well go out and weep bitterly. I am undeserving of my good shepherd's grace. However, it's not time to give up. It's time to keep on reading in our text. John has more to say. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Praise be to God that God's heart is greater than our hearts. And though we do not deserve his love, as shown by our lack of love for others in both words and deeds, God's grace is for all the penitent. Our convicted hearts do not have to have the last word. Instead, Jesus does. In fact, recall Jesus' last words before he died, as recorded by St. John. He said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When the good shepherd laid down his life for us sheep, he completed for us what we cannot. He forgives our failures of being able to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters as we ought. He forgives us even though we, who have been exceedingly blessed with the world's goods, waste too much of it on ourselves. There's one command that is essential. We are told in our text, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is because by faith we receive Christ's perfect righteousness by which we are acceptable to the Father. In Christ alone there is salvation for sinners. John says in our text, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him." The second commandment is also essential, however, not for our salvation. This command is to love one another just as he commanded us. Understand that whoever keeps his commandments abides in him and he in them, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. This is all thanks to Christ, who said in words, but then followed up in deeds, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Shepherd of Israel, in your Son Jesus Christ, you have sought out your sheep and gathered us into your flock. Keep us always in your fold and guard us from every wolf and snare. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you alone gather us as your sheep and send faithful shepherds to us. Call all who have wandered from your flock and bless the faithful shepherds who gather them through the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son has called us to love our brothers. Turn us in love toward the neighbors closest to us, especially within our homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ first did for us. We confess that we have often fallen short and pray for your grace and strength to improve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Lord, through the Paschal Lamb, you have wrought peace between man and God. By the gift of good government, grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. We pray for peace in our world where wars are now being fought. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, by the first fruits of Christ's life from the dead, you secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences. Bless also with temporal health and well-being those who suffer among us. Grant them aid this moment and, even more so, true immortal health in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, our Shepherd, you calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death, and you prepare the holy table of your Son's testament for us in the presence of our enemies. Grant unto us repentant and faithful hearts, in every tribulation or besetting sin, lead us to find comfort and strength in your overflowing mercy given to us in the sacrament. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners, and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, trust him, seek help and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you peace. Amen.